What's up, everybody? This is Neil Real, and this is Let's Please God, the ministry that helps you stay right with God and find victory over Jezebel, narcissistic people, and over sin and everything evil. So today, once again, we're talking about the spirit of Jezebel. We're talking about narcissism, narcissistic people. And the question here is, why were you targeted? That's what we're going to talk about today. Who's the most vulnerable to the spirit of Jezebel? Who's the most attractive to narcissistic people? And who's at risk for being abused by narcissistic people? So this is something that you can take into consideration, and you got to look at yourself and see if you fit any of these traits here or on this list here. So I got 10 kinds of people here, and these may overlap, but it just helps us to really look at ourselves, because these are openings where they can come in and try to take advantage of us. So, all right, number one is they tend to target empathetic and kind people. Empathy is the ability to identify with or understand another person's situations or feelings. And then kindness is a sympathetic understanding or compassion. So it's funny how they don't have empathy themselves. They don't have kindness themselves, but they tend to seek out people like that. And the reason why is because they know that you'll probably fall for their story, you know, that you'll hang in there with them, that you can identify with their past trauma or whatever. And this is usually with women. Women will, like I said, the narcissistic women always got you telling you a sob story, how they were abused, or how somebody didn't love them, or how they were left or whatever. And people who are kind, who are empathetic, will give them a shoulder to cry on. Will try to see if they can help them. They will be there for them. You know, they will have empathy, sympathy. They'll be compassionate. So they know that compassion is what they can use to get into that person's life. It's not that they want to learn from you to be compassionate or learn to be kind or be empathetic. They actually look at those qualities as weaknesses. So they look at people like you, if you're a kind or empathetic person, as weak. And they say, oh, that's a weakness. I can get that person. Because they'll actually listen to my problems. They'll help me. They'll look at my situation and try to be compassionate. And it's not to say that you stop being kind, but just learn that this is something that they view as a weakness, even though it's an attribute of love or an attribute of God. So just be mindful of that. And be on guard, because that's who they target. You know, a person that doesn't have empathy, who has very little empathy, just say that, is not that kind, will not listen to them, will not be susceptible to their desires and needs. You know, they can start with their sob story, but a person that's not that empathetic, they be like, I don't care about what happened to you. You know, I'm not going to be compassionate and give you some money, or I don't care about that. You know, and so they see, oh, I can't use that person. But the person that is susceptible to that, they'll start giving them money. They'll pray for them. They'll be compassionate. They'll try to help them. They'll put themselves in their shoes. They'll even feel what that other person is feeling. And they say, okay, that's a weakness. I can use that. So be mindful of that. Empathetic and kind people are susceptible to Jezebel, or the narcissistic spirit. The second person that is susceptible, that is targeted, is prophets of God. So we see in scripture that Jezebel hates the prophets, is what the scriptures say, and that she sought to kill most of the prophets of God. She hates the true prophets, or this spirit hates the true prophets of God, because they keep the people on the path of life. They keep the people on track with God. Jezebel is trying to send everybody to hell. She's trying to derail everybody. Okay, so she seeks out prophets to take them down. And so this is why when I first got born again, there was a Jezebel spirit assigned to me. The very man who led me to church to join and be a member of not only the church, but his ministry, was full of the spirit of Jezebel. They seen my office of prophet, or my gifts as a prophet, before I did. And so they say, okay, we're going to take this guy down. And so that's why my first experience, even in church, was with Jezebel. You know, and from there on, I've run into Jezebel. Every time I was trying to do something new, any change in my life, every time there was a new change in my life, somewhere I was trying to go or something I was trying to do, Jezebel was there to try to stop it. trying to get in there and trying to be friends with me or something. And this is the way it is. So if you have the gift of prophecy, if you are a prophet, Jezebel is going to be coming for you because they're trying to take you down. They don't want true prophets out there. All right. Prophets are very necessary to the body of Christ to keep people on track, to keep people on the right road. And also, prophets can see Jezebel for what they are. You know, that's why they're afraid of the true prophets as well. So they seek to tear them down. Now, of course, Jezebel also pretends to be a prophet as well. We see that she's called herself a prophetess. Yet, you know, she's steering the people away from God. One of the things you'll see is that she's promoting fornication, idolatry. In the Old Testament, it was Baal worship. If you look up Baal worship, you'll see a set of beliefs and teachings that you see in mainstream Christianity today. Health and wealth, prosperity, things of that nature. Sexual promiscuity, all kind of stuff like that. So those are the fruit of Jezebel. And there's always been a sexual component to Jezebel. Every time I've dealt with these spirits, even if it's in the man or woman, it always felt something sexual there that wasn't right. That was just kind of there, you know. So be mindful of that. But as a prophet, they're going to target you. They're always going to target you. They're always trying to take you down. The true prophets, because the true prophets have power. The true prophets keep the people on track. And from personal experience, like I said, since I was a child, a born again child of God, Jezebel has been after me. And she continues to come after me. That spirit continues to try to take control of my life and, you know, get into my life and stuff like that. So I try to maintain awareness of that. Every time I'm doing something new. And so as a prophet, if you were called to be a prophet and you have the gift of prophecy, if you're operating in the prophetic, then you got to be mindful that Jezebel is looking for you to take you down. So the number three person that's susceptible to the spirit of Jezebel or narcissistic people or narcissistic abuse are people pleasers. Now, we've all grown up being taught to please your parents, please different people. And they'll be, if you do that, then you'll be, you know, but it's not a good teaching. Obviously, you can't please everybody. And if you get into this habit of trying to please people, then Jezebel can come along and take advantage of that. And so people who have a tendency to want to be validated by pleasing other people are very susceptible to being controlled and dominated by the spirit of Jezebel. Narcissistic people look out for people like this. They seek out people pleasers. If you can't say no, if you can't set boundaries, if you look for validation from people, then here comes Jezebel. Here's come that narcissistic spirit that wants to put you in an ever-ending loop of trying to please them, and you'll never will be able to. So you have to learn to say no. You got to learn to have boundaries. And we'll talk more about that in other sermons. But you can't please Jezebel. But this is a weakness that will be exploited if you are this type of person. So they're going to target you if you are a people pleaser. So learn to please God over man and you'll be better off. Number four is optimistic people. Optimistic people can be taken advantage of more easily by the Jezebel spirit. And the reason why is because they have an optimistic view on life. And I'm not against people like this. I like people who are positive. I don't like a lot of negativity coming from people, but I do like realism. You know, I want people to be realistic about life. And unfortunately, these people, when they get into relationships with Jezebel spirits, the Jezebel keep on doing stuff to them. And they keep saying, well, let me be optimistic about this. You know, people can change. They had this mindset, I can't understand why this is happening. People are better than this. They have this Superman complex or the Superman mentality. And that comes from the comic books. If you ever read about Superman, you ever read how he talks about humanity, he says humanity is basically good. If you think that most people are good, you will overlook the behavior of the Jezebel spirit. You'll keep thinking, well, that ain't really what that is. You know, they're not really bad. It's just, you may even believe their stories about their past abuse and why they really are trying to be a good person. It's just that they've been broken, you know, and they, you know, and so you got all these optimistic ideas about them as if they're going to change down the line and all that stuff. The problem with that is these spirits, these people don't change, okay? The great majority of them will not repent of their sins and they will go straight to hell. That's just the state of them. And when it comes to optimism, when it comes to humanity as a whole, scriptures are clear that most people are going to hell. Most people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, it's Jesus said that the narrow road is small, it's few that people find it, but the road to hell or the lake of fire is broad. A lot of people are going to hell. A lot of people will not repent of their sins. All right. So you can be optimistic. I like optimistic people, you know, but at the same time, you got to be realistic. But if you don't have that type of mindset, you will be putting up with the abuse from a Jezebel spirit, and they'll be just taking advantage of you, taking stuff from you, abusing you, devaluing you, altering your reality, all kind of stuff. And here you are thinking, no, this can't be happening. People are not like this. I refuse to see humanity in this way, you know. But I think the best way to look at humanity is the way Scripture says. It says all have sinned, they fall short. We're wicked, we're evil, we're dark. We deserve to be exterminated. We don't deserve the blood of Jesus. We don't deserve to be saved. And that's just everyday people. Now, the narcissist is the next level because they're toxic. They're worse than the average person that's in sin. So for you to have an optimistic mindset about people, this is... you got to have a realistic mindset. And so people like that with a lot of optimism, they tend to look at, okay, that the glass is half full and, you know, people are not that bad, or that's not what they meant to do, you know, and I can't really accept that this person is really like this. Like, that's, you're too optimistic. And you're not realistic is what I'm saying here. So it's not nothing wrong with being optimistic, but you have to be realistic, and you need to accept the scriptures for what they say about people. People are wicked. Most people are not going to change, and they're going straight to hell. That's just the way it is. All right. So keep that in mind and just have a realistic view of people. Number five, the fifth type of person that is susceptible to the spirit of Jezebel or narcissistic people is children of narcissistic parents. If your mother or father had the spirit of Jezebel and you have not healed from the trauma and the abuse, you may very well be likely entangled once again later in life with another spirit of Jezebel. Okay, this is what the Bible calls familiar spirits, because you grew up around this stuff. It seemed to be normal to you, even though it's harmful and painful. In some cases, the spirit has taught you that love is pain, that pain is love, and that drama is just something a part of life and part of love and relationships, when no, it's not. And so if you have not healed, understood what happened to you, that your parent was broken, that they needed counseling, they needed to be born again, they needed to repent of their sins, and you just kind of walked away from that. You haven't healed, and you haven't learned boundaries and saying no and understanding that was traumatic, then you are susceptible and you are open to another one coming into your life and putting you under the same type of abuse and bondage as before. Number six. The number six person is a person that is codependent. Now, this is a clinical psychological term. The psychologists, and I'm going to just read what they say, what it is. It says, among the core characteristics of codependency is an excessive reliance on other people for approval and a sense of identity. So a person that has, they just got no identity. They have to have approval on people. They excessively need approval. They don't have an identity. They're just so needy. It says codependency is a behavior condition in a relationship where one person enables another person's addiction, poor mental health, immaturity, irresponsibility, or underachievement. So not only are they needy, they don't have their own sense of self or identity. They're people pleasers, as it says here. They seek approval from people. They will enable bad behavior. So Jezebel spirit is obviously a soup full of bad behavior. I mean, we talked about it, all the traits, you know, and so they will enable that person, you know. And if you're this kind of person, that you're very open to a Jezebel coming into your life, because they're going to be that person that you're going to depend on. They're going to present themselves as that person. You can depend on me. I'll be there for you. And they'll eventually use that against you. So once you start to stand up for yourself and say, look, I don't want to take this abuse, I'm not, and confront their behavior, they're going to say, well, I'm going to leave you. And then the codependent person, oh my God, I can't have that. And so they end up being manipulated back into the relationship. And so codependency is something that you have to sit down and get counseling for. pray about. Am I this person? Do I need people like that on that level in order to live? You know, I don't have a sense of self unless I'm attached to somebody. Everybody has some level of dependence, you know, independence. Everybody has that. That's something normal. If you're totally dependent, where you have nothing, you just like clingy and you just like, I can't be without anybody, and you don't have any self-worth because it has to come from other people, and you probably got codependency. But I would go on YouTube and look at some of the definitions and examples just to look at that for yourself to see, because this opens you up to being controlled and dominated by the spirit of Jezebel. Narcissistic people look for people like this. They can sense it. They're good at reading people and seeing people's vulnerabilities and insecurities. And they try to pretend to be something that will satisfy your needs. And they wrap themselves around you, and eventually you're in that bondage with them, being abused and devalued and sucked dry. So be mindful of that. Number 7th person that is susceptible to abuse and the Jezebel spirit and being wrapped into their web of deception is the people fixer or rescuer. There are certain people out there that like to fix people, and they like to rescue people. Now, this seems like a noble person. If you're this type of person, I mean, you grew up rescuing, you know, stray dogs and cats and, you know, and then people. You seem to be attracted to broken people. So Jezebel is a broken person. You know, they will reveal how they were abused, like I said, once again, or they got issues here and there. You can kind of sense that they're broken, and you try to fix them. Try to come into their life and try to fix them. Problem is, you can't fix Jezebel. You can't fix a narcissistic spirit. All right. And so what will happen is they will use that against you, and you'll end up in a web of lies and deception and being abused yourself while you're trying to fix them. Same thing with rescuing. You feel like the person needs to be saved, you know, and so you try to save them. They may, you know, they may need this or that. You try to provide what they need, but it seems to be everything you do for them is not enough for them. And you seem not to be able to help them. That's because you can't. Okay. Only Jesus can save people and fix people. And that's if they want to be changed. If they don't want to change, they don't want to accept responsibility for their actions, then they can't even be saved by Jesus. So Jesus is the one that can change a person, you know, and but you can't. So it's kind of on some level, these people who are fixers and rescuers have a pride issue. They it makes them feel big to fix and save people. They go around doing this, you know, and it's an ego boost for them. Yes, you can help people. Yes, you can rescue people. If you see somebody about to drown, you can jump in and help them. If you see somebody that needs a little bit of some money to get to where they're going, that's nothing wrong with that. But when you kind of wrap your whole life around being this fixer-upper, rescuer type of person, you're opening yourself up to Jezebel, because they're going to come in and they're going to play the victim and everything. And then you're going to be spending all your energy and time on somebody who will never be healed, that will never be able to be saved. You can't save them. You can't fix them. Only Jesus can. And they're going to use your desires to fix and save them against you. And you're going to lose all your resources trying to help them. All right. So keep that in mind. You can't fix people. You can't save them. All right. That's something Jesus does. That's if they want to be saved. All right. So don't make that your life goal. Don't make that your who you are as a person, you know. But like I said, you may be in a ministry like that. You may be, you know, that ministry that goes to certain countries that don't have food, and you know, or you may have a ministry in America where, you know, it's nothing against that. It's nothing. I'm not saying nothing's wrong with any of that. I'm just saying if you're still open to the spirit, if you are not vigilant and mindful that certain people cannot be healed, certain people cannot be saved, and they're just going to use you and abuse you. So keep that in mind. Number 8th person who is susceptible to Jezebel is the person that has a misunderstanding of forgiveness. Okay, so you're in a relationship with this person, they're abusing you, disrespecting you, and you have a religious mindset that forgiveness means to let them keep doing that to you. In other words, you got to forgive them, let it go, and then let them back into your circle. And they end up stabbing you again, end up robbing you again, and you just let them back in. And you think that that's what forgiveness is about. It's not. Okay? You have a misunderstanding of forgiveness, and that's why you're being abused by the Jezebel spirit, all right? And your religion has got you to think that that's what you got to put up with. You don't. Forgiveness is not letting somebody back into your circle without confession and repentance. It's not even that you have to let somebody back in. Forgiveness is two things. It means to let go of revenge and to let go of the debt that they owe you. So if somebody sins against you, they owe you something at that point. Forgiveness is to say, I'm not going to try to get the debt. I'm not going to get you to pay this debt. I'm not going to hold you to this. I'm not going to keep bringing up what you did to me and you owe me this and this, that. You know, when people continue to talk about what somebody did to them over and over again, they don't have no forgiveness. It's basically what's happening. And they're just thinking on how the person owes them. They need to repent. They need to come to me and they need to acknowledge their fault and this, that, and the other. Okay. That's unforgiveness. All right. But the twisted side of it is when you think forgiveness is letting somebody back into your circle. No, the scriptures are clear about this, is that if the person doesn't confess their sins and repent, you don't let them back in. They don't get to be forgiven. All right. And forgiveness in this particular case, when the disciples were asking Jesus, he said, Jesus, if the person sinned against me seven times, do I, you know, forgive them? How many times do I? He said, keep on forgiving them as long as they confess their sins and repent. Yeah. They acknowledge their fault and change. Yeah, you can let them back in. You know, we all make mistakes against each other, but you'll notice the Jezebel, the narcissistic person who does not confess their sins. They don't repent. They don't change their behavior. Therefore, you don't let them back into your circle. And even so, let's say they do. Let's just take out the whole narcissistic person. Just say a person just sinned against you in a way that was very harmful, but they admitted their fault and they said, I'm going to change and be better. You still don't have to let them back in. You can acknowledge that they repented. Okay, fine. I accept your apology. I'm glad that you decided you're going to change, but we ain't friends after this. So you can't come over to my house. You can't call me and see how I'm doing. You don't have to let them back in. You just don't. It's your right to pick who you want to be friends with and who you don't want to be friends with. You know, God is concerned with how you treat people, though. Just treat them with respect going forward. But like I said, there are people who have a misunderstanding of forgiveness. And, you know, what Jesus said was clear in the scripture. He said, if you don't forgive men, I'm not going to forgive you. So if you walk around with unforgiveness, Jesus said, I'm not going to forgive you. And that means you ain't going to end up in heaven because you have a whole bunch of unforgiveness. So he's not going to let you in. So people take that scripture to heart and say, yes, okay, I got to forgive. But they think forgiveness is letting somebody who harms them repeatedly without confession and repentance back into their circle to where they can harm them again. I got to stay in contact with my grandma, even though she's a Jezebel, narcissistic woman that abuses me. I got to keep coming over her house. I got to keep. No, you don't. You don't have to go to the family reunions. You don't have to keep going to that church that is abusive to you. All right. So, you know, you never let a person back into your circle who has not confessed or repented of their sins. You just don't do it. Okay. God don't do it. God said specifically, he said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's if you confess your sins. If you confess them, meaning acknowledge what you did was wrong, and then, you know, turn from your wicked ways, and then he'll bring you back in. But if your attitude is, I didn't do anything wrong, I'm not going to, you know, repent, and then, of course, give you that fake apology is what they do all the time, then that's not acceptable. And they don't deserve to be in your friend, your friend zone, rather, your circle, your family, your church. So that's just the way you have to look at it. That's just what scripture teaches, you know, and this is for our own health. All right. Number nine was going to be the unbiblical religious beliefs. Okay, because this is related to it. So you have an idea like this. I have to serve this ministry for free. So you're in abusive ministry and you got to do it for free. You think you have to do things for free. God planted me at this church. I can't leave. I've heard pastors preach stuff like that. So now people are going to a church where they getting beat up by Jezebel spirit. And they keep fellowshipping with these people, keep coming to gatherings with them. going to church function with these people, thinking that I have to put up with this because God planted me here. If I leave this church, God's not going to be happy with me. There's nowhere in scripture that says that you have to be at a certain fellowship, a local fellowship or something like that. You just have to be at one if it is a fellowship that is healthy. And I've taught on this before in the past. You don't go anywhere that's not healthy. Okay. If the church is not providing love, it's not leading you to do good works. And a few other things I mentioned on the list, it's mentioned in scripture, that's not a church. Okay. And especially if it's an abusive environment, you don't need to be there. So you know, this idea that you were planted at this church is BS. Don't get into that. It's usually manipulative tactic by the pastor to keep the people in the church. They don't want people leaving as soon as there are problems. You know, and of course the problems are there because the pastors, which are supposed to be the gatekeepers, the ones that are looking out for the wolves to keep the sheep are protected, they're not doing their job. Because most pastors in mainstream Christianity are not real pastors, just men running a financial scam against the people, using religion as a front. Okay. So you don't have to be at this church if they're abusing you. Another belief, they think that this person is my spiritual mother or spiritual father. You know, once again, this Jezebel will lie to them and tell them that this person is, this is who they are to them. And if you let them go, then you in sin and God is going to get you. You know, you're not going to be protected out there. And if you leave this church or if you leave the spiritual mother or father or something like that. Okay. These are erroneous, unbiblical religious beliefs that keep you in an abusive relationship with Jezebel. All right. You got to let go of those beliefs. Number 10 here, and this is the last one. People who are susceptible to the spirit of Jezebel or narcissistic behavior, and that is people with low self-esteem, worth, and value. If you don't see yourself as valuable, they can come in and take advantage of that. So this comes from poor parenting. You know, parents are supposed to instill in them value. They're supposed to instill into them boundaries. People can't cross these boundaries. You're special. You're valuable. And I actually had a sermon on that long ago where, you know, it says you are valuable, because I'm trying to help people to see that they're valuable in God's eyes. And so if you can get that esteem from God, if you had that esteem from your parents growing up, then you're strong enough to deal with people who come into your life and try to devalue you. I mentioned that one of the tactics of the Jezebel spirit is they try to devalue. They start talking down to you, saying you ain't this, you ain't that, you know, taking your good qualities and saying that they're not good. They're not good enough and all this kind of stuff. But if you have a strong sense of value, like I'm valuable, I don't deserve this, I'm not going to be treated like this, I'm not going to be disrespected like this, then you're able to be strong enough to withstand the Jezebel, and Jezebel won't deal with you because they know that you're strong enough in that area. But a lot of people, because of the environment that they've grown up in, don't have a lot of self-worth and value, okay? Society is responsible for it as well. There's racism that is responsible for it as well. There's sexism and gynocentrism. There's a lot of spirits or voices that are talking to people on a daily basis and telling them you're not worth anything, you're worth less, this and that and the other. So a lot of us walk around with these weaknesses. So because we think of ourselves that way, we're open to allowing somebody to take advantage of us. And we won't say to ourselves, I'm worth more than this, I'm not going to put up with this. You'll just put up with it because you've been programmed to accept that bad behavior, because you don't see yourself as valuable. You won't see your time as that valuable. You won't see your space as that valuable. Your energy that you give to people, you won't see it as valuable because you were told growing up that you weren't that valuable. And so we have to learn to value ourselves, many of us. Like I said, this is something that's been programmed in many of us. Racism teaches black people that they ain't worth nothing. Okay. It's through media. So a lot of us black people have low self-esteem, low self-value and worth. And that's why we allow things to happen to us. That's why we live in communities where the city has the responsibility of fixing certain things. But we don't protest or change, you know, go to city hall and say, hey, we demand this and that, because our value is so low. We don't see ourselves as worth having a cleaner environment or a better city with operating, you know, working things in the city or whatever. And that's just an example. You know, men don't stand up for themselves because they've been told over and over again that they're less than the woman. And so the gynocentric society has taught men that from day one, that women are better than them. they put up with the abuse from a narcissistic wife or girlfriend or boss on the job or whatever because of being programmed that they're not worth as much, you know? So we got to learn to value ourselves. And so those are the 10 areas where a person can be vulnerable, where the Jezebel spirit finds you attractive and you're at risk for abuse because of these things. So I'm going to go over them again. Empathetic and kind people are at risk. They're going to target you because they look at that as weakness and they say, oh, I can take advantage of you. Number two are prophets. Jezebel hates the prophets. Prophets are powerful. They keep people on track with God. And Jezebel hates them because they expose Jezebel. And also, they have the power to kill Jezebel. They can get rid of Jezebel. And so they don't like them, and so they seek them out. Number three, people pleasers. If you struggle with self-validation and you need it from other people, then you can end up being a people pleaser and being used and abused by the Jezebel spirit. Number four is a person that's just too optimistic, but they're not realistic. That can be used against them because they keep saying, this can't be happening to me. You know, this person will change. Or hopefully they'll change. People are not this bad. You know, no, they are. You need to be realistic and accept the word of God for what it says about people. Okay. Number five, children of narcissistic parents or Jezebel's parents. Obviously, if they haven't healed and understood the trauma, they're open to being connected with another Jezebel. You know, because it's just familiar to them. Number six, codependent people. It's a psychological term for somebody who's excessively relying on people for approval and a sense of identity. I would say, once again, to look up that on YouTube and find some videos that talk about that so you can learn whether or not that may be an issue of yours. Another person that's susceptible to Jezebel spirit is people who want to fix people or people who want to rescue people, right? Jesus saves, Jesus fixes, he repairs. You can only do so much, so you have to have a boundary and also be humble enough to admit that you're not God in these people's lives, you know? Number eight, people who misunderstand forgiveness, though they are very susceptible to being taken advantage of because they'll keep forgiving the Jezebel. They'll keep being abused. They'll keep forgiving. And then nothing will change. And they'll just think that I have to forgive. If I don't forgive, then Jesus won't forgive me. But they have a misunderstanding of forgiveness. They think that it means allowing that person back into their life. And it doesn't. It's all about letting go of revenge and letting go of the debt. That's what forgiveness is. Doesn't mean you let the person back in your circle. And even though it doesn't mean that you are not angry anymore because there's an injustice. And so as long as these saints are on this earth and see injustice, they're going to be angry with injustice until it's justified, until God gets his vengeance on the wicked. Number nine, people who have unbiblical religious beliefs. So they believe that they're planted at a particular church. They can't leave. They believe so-and-so is their spiritual mother or father. They have to serve a ministry for free, things of that nature. No compensation whatsoever. I have to do this because this is for the Lord and all this kind of stuff. No. Right. And then number 10 is those who have a low self-esteem and worth and value and respect for themselves. OK, like I said, society programs people to feel like they are not worth anything. And so they end up being susceptible to the spirit of Jezebel and narcissistic control freaks and things of that nature. So I would encourage you to think about these things and see whether or not these areas are areas of weakness that you can patch up. And we'll be talking more about how to deal with these in this series. But this is who they target. These are the people that are most susceptible to these spirits. So just, you know, take this to the Lord. Until next time, walk in the spirit and be blessed.